Amen. Hey, have a seat. I love Fridays. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. We are making our way through this semester, and we are so glad that you are all here. I hear there's some visitors, visitation day, a couple folks here. Glad to have you. Wonderful. And you know, there's some other folks here in like different colored shirts that I'm not really aware of. There's some folks in the red, folks in the, what do you think, Kleiner? Yep. I think there's a little something going down at the river tomorrow. Yep. It's called the pool. Hey, now in here, there's unity. Muse, come on up. Hawk, come on up. Come on, baby. All right. Join hands. All right, hold it. There's unity here. All right, all right. Hey, good luck to both of you guys tomorrow. It's going to be a great thing. Glad you guys are here. Hey, but we're also glad to have somebody else here, Chris Klein, who is a graduate. Hey. I didn't even finish. Klein, they like you, I think. All right. Klein is a graduate of Hope College. He's a graduate of Western Theological Seminary, right across the lawn there. He is part of a ministry called Clay Vessels Ministry. He's the originator, director. You're everything, aren't you, Kleiner? All right. So, Klein is a part of that ministry where he speaks. I know. You want me. Klein says if you want to talk to him ever, you can email him at cklein@clayvesselsinc.org. Okay. Klein, I like you. I like you a lot. But there's one thing we have a little problem with, Kleiner. Yeah, I know. See, Klein is a big Cubbies fan. How many are Cubbies fan? Are there some more Cubbies fan? But see, I mess with Klein all the time. See, the dang Cubbies haven't won diddly squat again, Klein. It's the same stinking... Oh, you want to talk to me now, huh?
Hey. At least the Cubs have won a championship 102 years ago.
That's true.
I don't think the Lions have won anything.
Oh.
They can't win even when they should win.
Oh, okay, Klein. Okay, I'll let you go on that. Hey, we don't have time to talk about the Lions and the Cubs, so let me pray. Pray with me. Thank you, God, for Chris. Thank you for his good witness. And Lord, we thank you that he's here today. And none of us are here in this chapel by luck or chance today. You've called us here to listen to a word you want to speak through Chris. Now give us open ears to hear and open hearts to receive. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, Chris Klein.
Have you ever felt left out? Have you ever felt not welcomed? Have you ever been labeled? This morning we are going to explore labels. We are going to do this by looking at an ordinary character of the Bible. How many of you have heard of Mephibosheth? I don't believe many of us are familiar with this character, because not a lot was written about him. History is found in 2 Samuel starting in chapter 4. Mephibosheth's life had started out great. His father was Prince Jonathan, and his grandfather was King Saul, the first great king of Israel. Mephibosheth was royalty, and royalty had many privileges. When he was young, everything seemed to come his way, the gifts, the friends, the fun, all because he was royalty. Back then he even had a royal name, Merab Baal, meaning opponent of Baal. Baal was a false god. But now his name was different. Mephibosheth meant son of shame. All because that one day when everything changed. When he was a little boy, a man, bloodied and exhausted, ran into the palace gates and yelled out, King Saul and his sons are dead. King Saul and his sons are dead. Run, Merab Baal, run for your life. run. Mephibosheth was 5 years old at the time. He didn't understand. He ran with his nurse as hard as he could, but his five-year-old legs could only go so far. He had to stop. In desperation, his nurse picked him up and with Mephibosheth in her arms. She ran and ran. But she didn't notice the chariot just in front of her. As her ankle buckled and she fell, Mephibosheth flew out of her hands and landed with a hard smack on his back. Mephibosheth didn't feel the pain in his back right away. His nurse, weeping, seeing that he looked okay, picked him up and kept on hobbling on her sore ankle. She had to get young Prince Mephibosheth into hiding. It was a short while later that she discovered that Mephibosheth was hurt bad. In exhaustion, she put him to the ground, hoping that he would walk or even run for a way, but all he did was fall to the ground. She begged him to stand up, but he couldn't. His back was broken. His feet, his legs were useless. In a moment, everything changed. It wasn't fair. He was like this because his nurse dropped him. He was mad, frustrated, and just feeling sorry for himself. Sure, he could accept this if he did this to himself. But he didn't do this to himself. When he came around, or was introduced, they would say, "Here is Mephibosheth, the lame. Here's a grandson of a former king. And he isn't being seen as that because he is lame." Mephibosheth lost his identity because his identity became his disability. He was already classified, and by the time he was introduced, people had notions about him. I am able to understand the feelings Mephibosheth is having right now. As you can see, I have a disability. I have cerebral palsy. My disability was caused by a lack of oxygen at birth. It wasn't caused by me. It isn't fair that I am like this. It isn't fair. There is nothing fair about this. And I know Mephibosheth was angry because I have been angry. I have felt isolated and abandoned. I have wanted to give up just like Mephibosheth. Haven't you been there too? How do you see yourself? Do you have a label attached to your name? Some of us feel we aren't good enough. Some of us feel we aren't smart enough. We feel we won't amount to anything. Some of us have been given that label of a loser. We feel we won't have any worth. Maybe we were abused. So we have that label of being abused on us. You feel dirty and ashamed. You feel like nobody will ever love you. We all have some idea what it feels like to be Mephibosheth. We know what it is like to be labeled, whether we have a disability or not. We have a label on us. Let's take a look at 2 Samuel 9 verses 3 through 11. It reads, "The king asked, 'Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?' Ziba answered the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet. Where is he?' The king asked. Ziba answered, 'He is at the house of Machir son of Amiel in Lodabar.' So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, your servant." He replied, "Don't be afraid." David said to him, "For I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant, that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops, so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table, like one of the king's sons. Did you catch what Mephibosheth called himself? He called himself a dead dog. Mephibosheth asks King David, "Why should you notice a dead dog like me?" Yet, King David saw him differently. He saw Mephibosheth as one of the king's sons. King David showed grace on Mephibosheth and accepted him as one of his sons. Are you feeling like a dead dog? We have a God that wants to show grace on us. We have a God that invites us to eat at his table. Yet, if we are really honest with ourselves, most of us feel like we are not worthy to eat at the king's table. We feel that somehow we have to make ourselves worthy to be accepted by God. It is our job to make sure we are good enough for Jesus, but we are totally missing the point. Paul writes in Romans 5 verse 6, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." God came down here to help the helpless. He knew we couldn't help ourselves, and that is why he has sent Jesus to save us. We don't have to do anything but accept his free gift of grace. It doesn't matter how dirty or messy we are. It doesn't matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter if we have come from royalty or we haven't. It doesn't matter what people have labeled us. We have a God that invites us to the table to be with him. He redeems us and then adopts us as sons and daughters. Just as David shed grace on Mephibosheth, God has sent Jesus to shed grace on us. All we have to do is give him the burdens of our labels. Once we hand over our burden, our identity becomes Christ and not our label. I know now that I am a child of God. My identity is in Jesus. Jesus lives within me and has adopted me. He is my true identity. Are you allowing your label to define you? When we do that, we question whether or not we really belong eating at the king's table. I believe that was what Mephibosheth was doing. He couldn't see past his disability and see how special he was created. You have been created in the image of God. Jesus has died for you. Your identity is in Christ. He lives within you. All you have to do is accept his invitation. Let us pray, please. O holy and merciful God, thank you for inviting us to your table. Help us to accept your grace. Help us to let your light shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.